Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
Today in Real Ghost Stories Online, they found the perfect home. The only problem was the previous owners were still there.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all of those extras, they are there for you at Apple Podcasts and our premium channel. Patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, Tony, not too much. I got up this morning, got a flat tire on my car.
That's not fun.
That's just such a pain in the butt, and I'm not good at changing a tire.
I don't think I've ever, I changed one in shop, like an auto class in high school. And that was my last time doing it. It's like, you know, you'll learn this skill, you'll use it in life. Never used it in life. I've picked up my phone and I've called the auto people.
I was going to say, I have used my roadside assistant.
Exactly.
My insurance.
Yep.
But today I was like, if I could get it aired up, maybe. And then I could drive it down there. And that's what I ended up doing. But the whole way I was like, oh man, if this goes flat on the way, but it didn't.
Good.
But it had some big ass screw in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just makes me think maybe I need to learn that skill, or maybe just calling on the phone as much as
you. I think maybe just using the phone is good. You know, it's not I'm not flipping out tires in my garage or something like that.
I don't trust myself either that I would have ever done it correctly.
Yeah.
Because one time, and it wasn't my fault, but one time my whole entire wheel fell off my car. It just came right off.
Oh my God.
And I was turning a corner. It's like the whole thing happened in slow motion. I'm making a left turn. It was a Sunday morning, so thank goodness there was not a lot of people downtown. My car hits the ground. It was the weirdest thing. And I look up and I see my tire just rolling down the street.
How does it even happen? Like,
I don't know. And I even asked somebody, I'm like, my car feels weird when I turn it a certain direction. And they're like, oh, it's probably nothing. It's probably nothing.
Yeah.
I'm convinced in my head, oh, it's nothing. And then, it wasn't even screwed on properly. Wow. How does that happen? So at some point, somebody had changed the tire and not got the lug nuts on properly.
Yeah, I guess so. Or
because
ghost unscrewed them.
They should never loosen up. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Normal.
Well, I was waiting for you to say, like, my tire was flat, and then this mysterious individual appeared and had a wrench and just went to town and fixed it, and then I turned around and they were gone. But
there was a homeless person there that helped me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he went and grabbed my tire in the middle of the street. So I thanked him appropriately. It's like, well, here's someone. Thank you very much.
Not quite the ghost, but something. That's, you know, humanity. There you go.
It felt paranormal when it happened. I'm just telling you that.
Yeah, no kidding. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Hi.
My name's Gloria, and I just wanted to tell you a story about a house that we moved into. So we are in Santa Barbara, California. My husband, myself, and our two boys, at the time they were they were very young, about, they, when we moved in, they were 4 and 5 years old. We love the area. We love the house. Small, cozy, right up our alley. It was everything that we wanted, and it was a very exciting time. You know, it's our first house that we own together. The house needed a lot of TLC, which we were happy to do. We put our boys in one room, and they had, yes, bunk beds, and or bunk bed, just one. And it started pretty much immediately, the odd things going on around the house. Let's see, to start, my son that slept in the top bunk asked me one morning if I'd been in his room rubbing his back. And I told him I was not in his room, and his dad certainly wasn't either. He said that it woke him up, and he was so sleepy he didn't turn around. He just felt it. He felt the rubbing and went back to sleep. And I thought that was kind of weird. Anyway, it happened with so much frequency that I started getting a little concerned, especially because it was worrying him. I told him that I'm sure that it's nothing. I tried to dismiss the whole thing. Our dog also struggled in this house. He refused to go into certain rooms. He would cower down. If you called him, if you had a snack, you couldn't get him. You could not get him to come in to the boys' room and a particular part of the, like, through the kitchen. You had to pass through the kitchen to get to another room, and he just would not do it. I saw a shadow one morning, very, very early. It was still dark out, and my dog needed to go outside. And so I got out of bed, and I followed him. And as he went through the hall, I saw him go through the hall, and then a large shadow right behind him, up against the wall. That freaked me out. I asked a neighbor about the story on the house. It was a neighbor that lives right next door, and I just wanted to know what she knew about the house, about the people that lived there before here. And she said, and it was pretty freaking tragic, that the couple that lived here had 3 children, 2 boys, just like ours. They slept in a bunk bed in the room that the boys sleep in, that the wife, at a fairly young age, was diagnosed with cancer, and it was terminal. And so she was fading fast. They were preparing for the end, when then the husband was also diagnosed with cancer, and he ended up passing before the wife. And then the wife shortly after that. It was like back to back. So it was pretty tragic. And then the kids were left as orphans. Was shocked, absolutely shocked with that story. And then it suddenly hit me that the spirit of the parents are remembering their children and soothing our boys in their beds, or the one anyway in his bed, and that they must be in the house. So I started talking to them, and I asked them for some peace, and I told them that we love their home. He was, by the way, a contractor. He built the house, so there was a lot of attachment, I'm sure, to the home. They have their stamp, their family stamp, all over the back. We found it in the cement, under a deck. the prints of all the family's hands, including a dog and a cat. It's just touching and beautiful. And then another time, a different time, I was in the kitchen, and there's a bay window, and kids were playing in the house with a couple of friends, and I saw a man walk right past that window. So inside the yard, right past the window, and I thought, who's that? What's going on? I thought maybe it was a gas man, someone, the first thought was gas man for some reason. It was a man with like a baseball cap on, and so I went outside to ask him if, you know, he needed something. I honestly believe that I would encounter a man in the yard. And when I went out there was no one there. The gate wasn't open. It was nothing. So I asked the same neighbor. I actually described what I'd seen, and she said, I described him, the husband, the owner, exactly, and that he also wore a baseball cap. So anyway, I just wanted to call that in, tell you my story. It seems to be better. I feel like they know that we're absolutely happy here, and that we love his home, and so I feel like it's better. So anyway, that's my story. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. What's your thoughts on that one?
I don't know. I think that's interesting, you know, to have talked to the neighbor and then get some confirmation about what's been happening in your own house, because it kind of makes sense since both of them so tragically passed away. Mm-hmm. And then your child experiencing rubbing on his back seems like a comforting, loving thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't feel like it's a scary situation, but it would still be disturbing. I guess if I was going to have a ghost in my house, that's the one I'd want. Someone who seems to be caring over my family.
Mm-hmm.
I think would be better, obviously, than someone that's out to get you.
Mm-hmm.
But it would still be disturbing to me.
I agree.
Love the house, and they got handprints, and you know the little things that families leave behind. You know, you get the new driveway, so the kids write their name in it. It sounds like what they did.
Yeah.
So there's evidence of them there.
Yeah, I that's neat when you do that. We've done that in many different homes, and putting in names and initials and stuff down. And then I like to put weird ones like Dahmer, you know, like 72. And things
Jay
like
Dahmer. Obviously, by my reaction, I have never thought of doing that before. I find that very funny.
Everybody's expecting like Harper, you know, it's like Jeffy Dahmer.
You know? Jeff Dahmer.
Well, like, yeah, stuff like that in concrete. People go back and look like, oh my God.
Just what I wanted. Oh, that cracked me up. And of course, that would be the kind of thing you see after you move in.
Exactly.
Because in my Murder, She Shed out back, now I don't remember what it says, but there was cement poured and they wrote their names in that. But it was like a couple had written. I don't remember what it says now. But there's some writing in my Murder, She Shed, along with the crutches that are all wrapped up and still there.
The letters BTK or what's in there.
That's probably in there somewhere. It's a damn falling down shed. So, you know, there's got to be more writing in there. I just haven't discovered
exactly.
Yet.
Exactly. The hidden writings in the Murder, She Shed.
BTK probably would have loved it because it's way back. I have a half acre.
Maybe he's maybe when he was, you know, working, maybe he was chasing some animals around there. And, you know, at some point, I don't know when last time I was in town there, we actually stayed in a neighborhood where like the Otero house was actually about a block down the road.
That's right. My old neighborhood. You did stay there.
And I was all about going for a little walk, but nobody else wanted to. No one else found that to be an amusing journey. I mean, I wouldn't do it for like amusement. It was just more like, it's interesting. I talk about this stuff a lot on the True Crime podcast. And
well, Buddy and I used to walk by there rather frequently because I only lived maybe 6 blocks away from there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was really, it's just right around the corner from where I lived.
Yeah.
So sometimes we'd walk by there. And it's funny because I never pick up on bad. You know how some houses you drive by and you're like, that house is haunted. I never felt like that about that house. It just made me sad knowing what happened in that house.
Sure, sure. I couldn't imagine living in that house, though, knowing like and walking into the basement, time to go do laundry and just knowing like, you know.
Yeah. I'm surprised that it's still standing.
Yeah.
That tragedy, I would have thought it had been torn down a long time ago. And then at one point they sold it and they had written on a very large piece of wood, you know, more like sheetrock, kind of big. And they had like spray painted on there. No gawkers, serious people only. Like, so they must have had people going in to look at the home who had no intention of buying it, just wanted to see what the inside of the murder house looked like.
And do you think that the sheetrock with the spray paint message on there really made a damn bit of a difference?
Actually, when I saw that, I thought, okay, now anybody who hadn't thought about doing that is going to do it.
Exactly. Like, that seems like it would attract more people than it would actually deter.
Because I saw the for sale sign on it. I never for 1 minute thought, I'm going to go tour that house. And, you know.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they actually ever did an open house.
Yeah.
So I would have never thought that. But after you see that sign, you do.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't know that that's the house, which a lot of people don't, they would be like, oh, that's the house. I think that would actually like decrease.
People would be like, yeah. Why would they put that weird sign up when they're trying to sell their house? And then you Google it and then you find out what happened there.
Yeah. Maybe not the best move when trying to sell a home.
No, no.
Like, but interesting. And it is, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do a house that has that kind of a history to it. There you go. It's going to wrap up this episode. If you want access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, check it out on Apple Podcasts, patreon.com/realghoststories, or ghostpodcast.com to get in on all of that. Until next time, for Carol, I am Tony. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.